Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Wake me up before you go, go. Yes, that is Wham. And I say that because, one, I wanted to stick that song in your head, because if it's in my head, it should be in your head too. You're welcome for that. Two, Wham is an acronym for the Women Anglers of Minnesota, who, ba-dum-bump, are my guest for this week's podcast, the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. I've been trying to get these ladies together for a long time, but as you can imagine, during the ice fishing season, they're busy ice fishing. So it's, you know, it's tough to do, but I was coming back from snow goose hunting. I was kind of on the way. They were available. I'm like, let's just do it. And we met at the Exchange Food and Drink restaurant and sat down, had a meal with them, put the microphones on, and recorded a quick episode just kind of get out there. Had a great time talking with Patty and Aaron, and look forward to doing more stuff with them. It's pretty cool. I learned a lot. I had no idea. I mean, I knew that the Women Anglers of Minnesota was a thing. I've seen them on social media and that, but I did not know that they've been around as long as they have. So like 42 years or something incredible like that. Obviously, we talk about that and many other things. It was a great podcast. I really enjoyed sitting down and talking to them. So let's get into it. Here is the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast with the ladies of the Women Anglers of Minnesota.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
All right. Everybody can hear everybody. I'm going to have to do the Wham joke again. Oh, my God. Nah, I'll just throw it in later. People will never know. So, Women Anglers of Minnesota. Thanks, ladies, for doing this. Appreciate it. We've been talking for, what, a while trying to organize this?
Yep.
The single hardest thing about this podcast has been getting people a date that works for all parties. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible because that outdoors hobbyists.
Yep. We're always on the go.
Outdoor things. And if it's somebody that actually has an outdoor business, then they're insane. They don't.
Oh, yeah.
There's no off season.
I mean, can't even imagine.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But I knocked one out earlier today, so that was great. So I get two of them.
You're on a roll.
I am, because I release it. I release one a week, and I haven't had one since I've been out in the Dakotas guiding snow goose hunters. So I feel good. I feel relief that I got getting knocking two of these out. Will cover me as I'm in the Keys fishing. So,
cool. Oh, we're happy to help you out with
well,
that.
Well, hopefully I can get some down there. I'm going to snag a guide, or I'll just go down to the docks and be like, who wants to do a podcast? Let's do this. Sit down. I'll talk to anybody. But I guess I found you guys. Yeah, I put a search looking for guests on fishing. Was it Brainerd Lakes Area Fishing on Facebook? I believe it was. And so Patty got a hold of me, and then we started talking. But I know some people through social media that are members of Wham. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to say that just I feel like it needs some emphasis.
Exactly. You're not the only one.
Wham. But you guys give me a history. It's been around a long time, right?
Yes. Yeah, so the club was actually born in 1977. It was started by a group of housewives that came together over their common love of fishing. And legend has it that the club was actually started on the waters of Lake Minnetonka over their common interest in muskie fishing, of all things.
That's
so
cool. Yeah, just jump into the, like, one of the hardest ones. That's
exactly
fine. Whatever.
I mean, if you think about what it was like in the 70s, you have women fishing. That's like, whoa.
Right.
Then you have women fishing for muskies. That's like, wait a minute.
And trying to get into tournaments.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's a weird thing that, like, it was a men's club for the longest time. I don't think that's really the case anymore. But it's still kind of a mental barrier for a lot of women, you know, and it's not even say for a lot of women. I think there's still a little bit of a mental barrier just for society.
Right.
Which is actually helping and a hindrance. So it's like some people are kind of making, you know, they have a YouTube channel and like they're a pretty girl and they're catching fish, like then they get really popular. You know, like it's, ooh, this is a pretty girl that fishes. Like it's this, we found a unicorn.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It kind of makes it more special, but in a way, it's like, well, does only the pretty ones matter? I mean, like fishing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's just general American consumerism too. That could probably be for anything, whether it's sports or pool playing or.
You know, nowadays on social media, everybody has like their personality or. You know, the persona that they're kind of trying to put out there.
Sure.
We have all kinds of members in our club. We do have members that have never picked up a fishing rod before. We also have members that compete on tournament circuits or that do have a big social media following. So we're kind of all over the board. We welcome everybody, but our main goal is to get more women in the outdoors, teach them the skills they need to get out there and be confident on the water. Like you were saying, I think for many years it did carry such a stigma that this was a man's sport. But now women are breaking down those barriers. We're seeing in surveys that we make up over half of the new anglers coming into the industry. So we are making a path and a name for women in angling. And I think some of those older stigmas you're going to see kind of start to go to the wayside.
Well, that's good. Fishing needs it. I mean, all outdoor activities are kind of on a downward slide. So any reason for uptick is good reason.
That's part of our mission too, is, you know, not only are we all about getting women into the outdoors, all of our proceeds that we make from our tournament and fundraising efforts, those go towards funding our other mission of getting more children into the outdoors too. So each year we donate hundreds and hundreds of rods and reels brand new to kids fishing organizations.
That's awesome.
Like clinics and stuff like that. So we are thinking of that future generation. That's actually really important to us. So
cool.
We're doing our part, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool. So you guys had Mille Lacs was your last big event.
Right.
Right, you had a tournament up there.
Yep, that was our ice fishing tournament. That was our second annual ice fishing tournament.
How many teams?
I think we had 60 teams. Over 60 teams.
Yep.
Wow,
we had 140, I think, signed up, so that would be 70 teams.
Yep, 70 teams. I mean, the max is 150 for our tournaments.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Weather conditions were not that favorable.
No.
On Mille Lacs.
It was a tough day.
Tough month.
All the snow we got this year, lake travel was super hard.
Yeah, really limited.
But, you know, our women went out there and they pushed through and we had some nice fish brought in. And
that was a panfish tournament, right?
Yep. Correct? Crappie, sunfish, and perch.
How many of each?
A bag limit of five. You could weigh in five of each in your
five
bag.
Of each.
Yeah. Cool. And for that tournament, we actually have their women that are out there on their ATVs and their snowmobiles. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of women that are new to ice fishing that don't have the gear,
sure.
Don't have the ability to punch their own holes and all that kind of stuff. So we also do a community area.
That's awesome.
That they get punched ahead of time, so everybody of every skill level can fish in the tournament. And a lot of the winners came out of the community area this year.
That's super cool. She's pointing to herself. What did you place?
We had third place.
Nice.
We actually did have a snowmobile. We were mobile, fortunately, but we checked out a couple spots in the morning outside of the community area, and we weren't having a ton of luck. We caught a couple of perch that we ended up weighing in. But then we went over to the community section. It sounded like everybody over there was having fun. They were cheering each other on. And every fish was being celebrated, it seemed like. So we wanted to see what all the hype was about. So we went over there, just dropped some lines. We were chatting with some of our friends, and the crappie bite was pretty big over there. So nice. We ended up taking third place, my partner and I, who's actually the president of our organization.
Ringers. Ringers.
Rigged. No.
Yeah, it's really cool to hear the women cheering each other. What yeah. nice fish. You know, it's a tournament.
Yeah. You
know, and then, but then we have some really hardcores. I mean, we had one girl that you're allowed to punch your first hole before the 11 o'clock horn goes off.
Oh, wow.
You just can't drop down a line or can't drop down, you know, your deucer or anything like that. And the one girl actually broke her hand and sliced her hand open.
And she fished.
She stayed
on the ice
whole
4
hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then she left and she went to urgent care. And
she came back right in time to accept her trophy on the stage. It was pretty epic.
But, yeah.
we don't feel awesome for her, but
yeah, that was awesome for her.
But I'm just saying, is we have every level. You know, 2 years ago, on our first winter trip, I got to catch on video a woman catching her first fish ever, either hard water or open water.
That's pretty cool.
At 50 years old.
50 years old, and here she is catching her first fish ever, and she had no problem taking that thing right off the hook herself even.
That's
so
awesome.
It was pretty cool. So we have every level of experience.
Yeah, that's cool. I joined an ice fishing league this year, Minnesota Made.
Oh, you did? Cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, everybody is out there helping everybody else. Like, before the event time, you know, unloading wheelers. And if anybody, like, broke down or battered, like, there's always somebody to step right up. And, yeah, we're all competitors, you know. But even pre-fishing would share information. You don't see it some. I mean, you know,
right. Can't give away all your secrets.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But, I mean,
within reason.
exactly. Within reason is a perfect way to put it. It's like, you know, when we all bullshit on the ice, we're like, hey, you know, how are you doing? How this thing? You know, what'd you find over there? I don't know, nothing much. And I don't think I was being lied to. Yeah. But,
you never know.
we did pretty good. Finished in the top 10 of 25 teams. So we're pretty happy with that as league rookies.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But with that kind of going into the Women Anglers of Minnesota and your tournaments, like, I started thinking, like, why – I don't think it's in the league rules that women can't be part of Minnesota Made. Now, there needs to be an opening.
Like, right.
I just got lucky this year. Some people just happened to not renew their membership or whatever. So I was like, heck yeah, sign me up. I've been wanting to do a league for a while now.
Right.
But, I mean, I know some pretty decent female anglers that.
Yeah.
Actually,
right
two
in.
Of our members participated in the UPL this year.
Yep,
Allie Widdens and Maddie Ogg.
Yep.
First all-female team.
That's awesome.
In the league. So
That's cool. Yeah. In a way, again, in a way it's cool. In a way it's like, why isn't this just a thing?
Yeah.
You know, but I guess it just isn't. I mean, it's got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, you know, and this is pretty new, I think, for a lot of people and for the industry. I mean, even when I joined the club 5 years ago, we had less than, I think we had over 100, maybe 125 members. We had less than 200 members. So. I think after the recent sports show we did, the Northwest Sports Show, we just hit the 700 mark. So we are growing fast. And like I said, I think this is going to be more normal. It's becoming more socially accepted. The industry is now making products catered towards women specifically. So they're seeing that we do have a presence in the industry, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's great. I got to imagine, like, clothing gear, it would be super irritating to not be able to get women's sizes.
It is. But luckily.
Rain gear or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's like that would just, you know, that would be miserable.
Well, we're shorter and we have different curves and different
sizes. Yeah, I don't know how you
sizes,
would do it.
So.
The size, like the size numbers thing, I'm like, what do you mean your size three? I've seen like 10 size threes that are all different shape. Like, you're gonna like, oh, I'm going to wear a size three jeans. I'm like, I don't think that girl's wearing a size three jeans.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to wear a size 3 jeans. They're going to fall off of her. She's a different kind of size 3. Like, how does that work? How do you not just have inseam and waist?
Yeah.
Like guy's pants.
See, and when I see those numbers, I'm like, what does this mean? I'm like, I just need, like, one number.
I don't know how you ladies do it. I don't understand. It just makes no sense to me how it can just one number can cover such a wide variety of
like we're complicated. We're women, right?
Well, that's, you know, that's
we're
right.
from Venus. You're from Mars. That's a book, you know.
Yes, it is.
It is. I think it's Mars and Venus. Might be the other way around, but I don't know.
Oh.
I didn't read it.
I think you're right, actually.
I know everything is or no about women.
No, but
that's
our
what they
club,
all say.
That's that I and that is that I know nothing.
False news.
And our club and other clubs, the industry is starting to listen to us, like she said. You know, whether it's color or, you know, we need this size or just because it's pink.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I hate pink.
I hate pink
that's
too.
The, you know, my you wife know, hates pink too, and that's kind
I'm
of
a
thing.
Blue kind
like,
of girl.
Oh, we're gonna make clothes. We're gonna cater to the female outdoorsman. Pink camo, pink this, mm-hmm. pink that. It's like.
Well, and the other thing is they take a
functional.
And the other thing is they take a cheap fishing rod combo and slap pink on it. And
sure,
it's
probably
like,
upcharge.
We don't want we don't want the pink. We want the good stuff. Yeah. You know,
exactly.
You can have pink and good stuff, but you can have pink.
Why can't it be both?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah. I don't know, it's got to be highly irritating. But we had in my bass club, Loudoun State Bassmasters. We have two ladies in there.
Mm,
they're
wonderful.
Both really good. I mean, they're good sticks. Nothing bad to say about either one of them. Like, I'm pretty sure I've been beaten by both of them. So.
I was going to say, I bet they outfish you too, huh?
Well, they have, but I've also beat them on any given day. So,
yep.
I think everybody in the league is pretty competitive.
Yep.
I think the skill level is pretty even.
Yep.
You know, when you take it to that level where you're joining a club or you're fishing tournaments on a regular basis, I think most people are going to, you know. I mean, my first year was a little bit of a rude awakening. I wasn't sure a rude awakening, but it was like, thought I was a pretty good angler. And then, which by comparison to most weekend anglers, sure. But then when you fish against other good anglers, you're like, oh, so not that good.
A little humble pie.
Yeah, like not that, which is good, though. It ups your game.
Right.
So, I mean, I learn new things, and I learn how to fish harder and focus better and maximize your time on the water. Like, you just find, you know, every minute counts, and you get streamlined. It just makes you a better angler all the way around. You challenge yourself.
And we have members that when they join, they're already tournament anglers. But we also have some of the women that come into the group. They've learned how to fish. We just had somebody else the other day. One of the ladies was starting to ask about how you get into bass tournaments and, you know, how do you get involved with that kind of stuff. And people are, you know, commenting and supporting them and, you know, go for it and those kinds of things. So it's, you know, it's one of those circle of support.
Sure.
That they maybe wouldn't have otherwise.
Right. That's awesome. And WAM's been around for a long time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oldest standing active women's fishing club in the country.
In the country. Yay, Minnesota.
Fact.
How many years?
42 this year.
42.
Yep, 1977.
That's pretty impressive. Inducted into the Minnesota Hall of Fame this year. Is that right?
Yep, the Minnesota Fishing Hall of Fame. Finally earned our way in after 42 years of building.
And the amazing part was our original our first president,
Sybil Smith,
was there at the induction ceremony.
That's awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was pretty
and
cool.
And Sybil, she's written books on where to fish in the metro area.
Very cool.
She's been around a long time, and she was our first president. So, yeah, we were honored to have her there with us. She's still a huge supporter of where we've taken the club and where we're going, and she's at every sport show and every big event that we had our 40th anniversary. She was there. She's at the Hall of Fame induction. So she's definitely made her mark on the industry, and we've just been very fortunate to have her be a part of our history as well.
And so many women.
Yes. She's definitely one of those pioneer women that you think of.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We've got some women that have been in the club for 25 and 30 years and have raised their daughter. When they got into the club, they may have been married, but all of a sudden they had a baby, and now they're bringing their babies to the events. And now
that's
those babies
cool.
are grown and members, and they're having their own babies. We have some two- and three-generation
families
that have been in it all along, and we have some two and three generations that have only been in the club for 4 or 5 years, the written hours,
right?
6 years, something like that.
Yep.
And 2 years, and last year's ice tournament, we had a grandmother granddaughter take second place in the ice tournament, so making lots and lots of memories. And, you know, like I said, every age, we actually have a youth membership that's what, 12 to 16. And we're doing whatever we can to support the youth.
That's good. That needs to be done for sure. You guys got a big event coming up this summer, right?
Yes. It's Saturday, June 1st, Woman Lake. It's in Hackensack, Minnesota. Awesome fishery. Really Lake. Good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice
I know, choice. Right?
It's just kind of a coincidence.
Exactly. So we actually do a new lake rotation every 2 years or every – so we'll be 2 years at Woman Lake. This is our last year, and then we're going to a different lake, which is to be announced at this year's tournament. But the 2 years prior, we were at Osakis. So we kind of jump around a little
Ooh,
bit.
Osakis is a good lake.
Oh, it's yeah.
Big panfish.
Nice
there.
Crappies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So this year we're going back to Woman Lake, 42nd annual tournament. We have spots for 150 women. Typically, we get close to selling out. We haven't sold out since I've been the tournament director.
There you go, ladies. Get on it.
Exactly.
Pass the word around.
Yep.
Get signed up.
Yeah. Multi-species tournament. We welcome all ages and scale levels.
How much is it?
$120 for the tournament fee. You have to be a member to fish, and our membership is only $25 a year. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, it includes your meals on Friday and Saturday and your chance to take home a big check. We give out over $10,000 in cash prizes. So
dressing in drag. I'll see you there.
Get your wig out.
Yeah, each first place in each of the five categories is $500 and works its way down to fifth place. And then we have a big fish that's $2,000.
Yep, the grand prize.
Grand prize. And
seriously
then,
identifying as a woman for that weekend.
And then we have our Wham Slam. Which, if you get a fish in each of the five categories, you weigh that bag in, and if you get the biggest bag, I think this year it's up to $2,500. Every year that somebody doesn't win it, we add another $500.
On. Yeah, oh, that's rolls cool. over.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Rolls over. So last year nobody won it, so this year it's $2,500.
I don't think the year before
either. So it's what's the other fish you can catch now again?
So we have northern pike, walleye. Bass, which can either be a largemouth or a smallmouth, crappie, sunfish, and then we have a fun fish category you can enter for an extra $5, and I think it's perch this year.
No rock so. Bass, rock bass don't count.
Well, it's no rock
it was
bass,
rock
have
bass
been
and
included
Osakis.
Other years. Yeah,
that's like the ugly stepchild of fish.
Yeah, I know.
Like, oh, it's
right?
rock bass, which I actually like rock bass. I eat them. I think.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're good.
Never tried it.
See?
I think eating bass is
all.
Like a faux pas.
Okay,
like,
well,
people
here's.
Don't
but rock bass aren't. Aren't. All right, here we're going to get dork out on fish species here a little bit. Bass aren't even bass. Largemouth and smallmouth aren't bass. They're sunfish. They're part of the sunfish
they
family.
Are.
They are.
True bass. True bass are your temperate bass, your stripers, striped bass,
yep,
white
yep.
bass, yellow bass.
Oh,
white perch.
Okay.
Those are your bass species.
Oh. I learned that from my DNR poster for the
yeah.
See,
Northwest
I would think it'd
show.
Be the other way around. Because yeah. so, to me, like a yellow bass looks more like a panfish.
Right.
You know?
It does.
Like I would think it would be opposite. Same with striped bass. What's the little yeah. white?
White bass.
Yeah, white bass. Mm-hmm. Those look like yeah,
those are actual
white
bass.
Panfish. That's crazy.
What we call bass are sunfish.
Okay, interesting.
In the sunfish family, I should say.
Yeah.
They're not sunfish. They're whatever. But
yeah.
rock bass don't share the same, not mystique isn't the right word, but the, like, being shamed for keeping a bass
mm-hmm.
by a bass angler or somebody. Rock bass
stigma.
Aren't in that. Yeah, they don't have that stigma. That's the word. Thank you very
okay.
much. They have quite the opposite stigma that's hmm. not – they don't have a good public image. They need a new PR person, and I'm happy to take up the mantle.
I
because
see that.
Rock bass, they're great. They taste good. They just – listen, if I filleted up a pile of bluegills, crappies, and rock bass,
mm.
and I put them on a plate for you cooked, breaded and cooked,
I would
offer you $10,000 if you could find that. Rock bass, and you will not be able to find that rock bass.
Okay.
What I like about them is they bite readily
mm-hmm.
because nobody keeps them. You catch really good ones, and per inch, I think they yield more meat because they have super broad shoulders. Used for swimming around rocks and
right.
picking out crayfish from underneath
yeah.
all the crevices and stuff like that.
I may okay. take you up on that challenge for the $10,000.
Might have to
only
that
because
back
of the $10,000, but I don't actually eat fish. I've learned to like fish, and
not,
I don't.
You're definitely not going to be able to pick.
I it. Take them home for your parents.
I take them home to my parents and to my sister. So yeah.
Bet still stands.
You're
then.
A good friend to
you're
have.
You're definitely
Patty.
Not going to be able. If you don't eat fish, you're definitely not going to feel any difference.
Yeah.
But they're the same. I actually challenged a buddy of mine one time.
I'm going to do that this summer.
I didn't offer him $10,000. I think I offered him $100 or something. He couldn't. He was like one of the biggest voices against can't eat those things, they're trash.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
all right,
what I would
well,
say.
We caught one while we're mm-hmm. fishing. Like, well, I'm going to mix this in with the fish we're cooking up tonight. If you can pick it, If you can find it, I'll give you $100. He couldn't find it.
Oh, my God.
But even after I proved that, he still refused to eat them. Now, they can get wormy in the summertime with the little white grubs and some of the black stuff, which can be a little off-putting. It's not doesn't harm you. Once they're cooked up, they're done. It doesn't change the flavor at all. It's just when you clean them, you're like, So I can see that. But sunfish and perch get that, too. They get the exact
they
same
do.
Things.
Yep.
So for some reason, people overlook that. It's like they just need a better PR, man. They just need... They're the ugly
they
stepchild.
Need Dale.
Yeah, they're the ugly stepchild. Let's make Rock Bass great again.
Is that your slogan for the year?
It's going to be. It's like two podcasts in a row we've riffed off of that saying. Thanks for that, Trump. I got something good out of this.
Exactly.
No, I only brought up the fact that I don't eat because some people go, first of all, they're surprised that I'm a woman that likes to fish. But then they find out that... I
you
love
even,
to fish and I don't even
don't
eat them.
Yeah, I got a buddy the same way. He loves the fish and he's always like, yeah, come fish with me. And the best part about it, you get to keep all my fish because I don't eat it. I'm like, whatever. I mean, I love fish, but I rarely keep them.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Unless I want a meal, I'm usually a catch and release.
Yeah,
we promote that.
Yeah,
I keep
a meal I'm going to eat for that night pretty much. Now, in the tournament league, like on event day, we keep our fish because we got to weigh them in. Generally, it's super cold.
Yeah.
So, you know,
are you
while
talking
you're
about
weighing
the,
them and you're doing that.
The winter tournament?
Yeah, the Minnesota Mary Dice Fishing Tournament. And, you know, you keep them in water, but, you know,
you
carting around
on
a four-wheeler all day long, they're probably not going to make it, you know. So it's, we keep them then, but they don't go to waste. I mean, eat them. The wife and kid loves it.
Well, and see, all of our tournaments are catch and release. And, like, for the open water, if we catch them, bring them in for weigh-in, and they're still alive, we're going to release them. But if not... We actually have a member that takes them up to the Raptor Center.
Oh, feed the eagles.
So nobody's, they're not actually allowed to keep the fish from the tournament.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
So how does that work, like, with the new pike regulations? Because there's length restrictions.
Well, we have to go by any restriction there is on a lake.
Okay.
So if the lake has a walleye
That's
slot. If the lake has a walleye
slot. Yeah, we follow that.
Mean, if the wake has a lot walleye slot, we go by that. If a contestant brings in a fish that's outside of that slot, they can get DQ'd on it.
Sure.
We actually had somebody get DQ'd, disqualified last year for the open water tournament because they brought in a northern that was outside the slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might run into that. You might want to make sure everybody's aware of it because it's not a big northern.
No.
Like, it's, 24 inches and under, you can keep 10 of them or something like that. But then I think you can keep two over 32, maybe.
Right, okay.
So, but that's a big
deal.
I mean, there's 10 inches of northern, which is the bulk of the northerns that live
and
in this
state. And I don't think this was that big of a northern, but it was outside the slot for that
it
lake.
It was super close,
sure.
I think. And
it was
I think
really
they just
close,
took the risk, and unfortunately it didn't go their way.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Got to risk it for the biscuit, as they say.
Whoever they are.
I know.
And I don't think I've
My
ever
grandpa,
uttered
no.
those words. That. I love
I've never heard that term.
I've heard it. I don't think I've ever uttered it. But if your grandpa says it, I'm in.
That's what goes through my head when I'm
That's
outdoors.
Hilarious.
I'm like, should I make a bridge and cross this broken shoreline? Should I trespass? No, just kidding.
No.
Let's edit that out.
No, nope. There's no editing. I don't agree.
Is that why it's called full
editing.
Scale?
Yeah,
everything.
Everything. All encompassing fishing, hunting, foraging, you name it.
Little with a little edge.
Maybe we need, So, like, is there a shared hunting thing with the Women Anglers Minnesota? Is it crossover?
We have some members.
Or is there
some
talk about doing a Women Hunters of Minnesota?
We have some of our members who are... members of other hunting organizations. I don't know if any of our members have ever gotten together to go hunting. Not that I recall.
Well, I know.
But I know there's a common interest there. But
well, didn't you go with Sharon last year?
Yes, I did. So that was my
there
own
wow.
my own
Good
personal
job.
Story. I actually have never hunted before. But I love to target shoot with my compound bow. Which is also
super
set up for hunting. So decided to put it to its fullest use this year.
Yeah.
And I went deer hunting for the first time. No, Didn't even see a deer, but it was an awesome learning day.
Yeah.
I learned so much. That was at the end of the season, so unfortunately that was the only time I went out, but now I'm going turkey hunting in a few weeks. So.
But she had put something out there in our members only Facebook group, and one of the other members
reached out to her.
Invited her out.
Yeah.
Sharon Rittenauer has been really cool. The first, Aaron and I joined WAM the same exact year, and that first winter, Sharon even invited us up to learn how to use augers and everything else. So
yeah, that was one of my first times ice fishing where I really got the full experience of setting everything up yourself, learning how to drill the holes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so Sharon's been a really good role model and a good educator for the next generation. So we're very thankful for her. She's definitely an asset to our club. And I know she's done that with more people than just myself. Yep. I know Patty, too, with tournament. And you're fishing with Sharon this year.
Yep, she invited me to fish the tournament with her this year.
Yeah.
So.
Fun,
and her daughters are in the club, and her granddaughters are in the club. And they help at all of our events, so... When we say we really are like a whammily, that's been our new our new hashtag going around. It's in the true sense of the word, literally and figuratively.
And we've had a lot of people learn from each other. I mean, look at Patty Johnson's story and Pat Housland. Patty really wanted to learn how to fish for muskie and really wanted to catch a muskie and. Pat started inviting her along, and they started going out together, and Patty caught her first muskie with
sweet
Pat Housland.
I think it was a tiger muskie, too.
Oh, I still have yet to catch one of those.
Me either.
We have a lot of those stories where people go into the Facebook group and say, I have an open seat, or does anybody have an open seat? I think we've got a lot of long-life friendships that are being made in our group, too.
Sweet. Yeah, oh, that's definitely a bond. I mean, anything outdoors, when you share it with whoever it is, fellow women or family members, anybody, it's just that there's a shared element to it. You know, you're out in the, using your outdoor skills, if you will, so there's like a, you know, not necessarily a survival instinct, but I think at like a genetic level, it's kind of in us, you know, the hunter foragers from way back.
It's
I think
a common
it's that
bond.
Yeah, you get that commonality and you form like really strong friendships that you just aren't going to form over drinking a beer at the bar, you know, or you know, whatever whatever the pastime. Definitely not going to build that kind of a bond, you know, over like Snapchat or you know, whatever on some sort of technology. Like, it's just not, you're just, there's no risk involved. I think the risk involved, and it might be it might be slight, but if you're on the water in a boat, there's an element of risk there, you know.
Right.
Your equipment fails or whatever. So anytime I think there's an element of risk, the people that are sharing that experience, there's some sort of bond that's happening there.
For sure.
You know, got to look out for
you're
each
all
other
in it together,
yeah,
kind of
for
a mentality.
You're relying on somebody else. And it's just naturally going to form a bond. But.
And I think we have I like to say that we have three different kinds of members. We have the members that are married and they can't really learn from their significant others. They're better off learning from other people, and so that's a good reason for this group. Or the significant other is going off on a weekend trip, and instead of being left at home, they want to go find their own fishing to do.
Sure.
The other kind of member that we have is single people like me who have grown up fishing, but they just want to learn more and learn different techniques. All my dad ever did was, and still does, at the age of 84, is troll with a yellow Mr. Twister, period. The end.
Pretty much described
the old tried and true.
You wanted to learn different ways.
You described my old man, except instead of the Mr. Twister, it was a Lindy Little Joe spinner. He would get crazy and change up spinner color once in a while.
Right.
And then the only other variance was what type of bait, minnow, leech, or worm. That's it. And they're troll between 8 and 14 feet of water. They're either biting or they weren't.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's learning more about something I love. And then we have the members that learn to love fishing when they were in a relationship. And all of a sudden that relationship isn't there anymore. And they don't have any girlfriends that fish.
That fish, yeah.
You know, so they've joined the club. They've made new friends. They've
Got their own equipment. Things.
They've gotten their own equipment. One of the advantages of being a member of Women Anglers in Minnesota is we do have some good gear discounts in the industry. Nice. And so they
even have loaner equipment like Vexars and hub shacks and heaters and rods for the people who don't, you know, they're not able to invest in their own equipment just yet, or maybe they're testing it out. And
that's awesome, because that definitely could be a barrier.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure. You know,
I mean, some people just don't have it.
Exactly. And whatever that barrier is, whether it's financial or it's transportation or, you know, someone to fish with, anything like that that could come up that might make someone feel like they don't have a place or that they're not able to do something, that's our main mission, is to try to break down those barriers and give them, you know, help them out with those things.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool. And on the subject of equipment, you're a new boat owner.
I am. Yep, it's coming up on a year. It'll be a year in July. So we had a short time together last season.
It's a relationship.
Yeah, it is. I'm having some withdrawals right now, but
does it have a name? Did you name it?
Yes, I even have a decal on it.
I knew it.
Guess what it is?
I have no idea.
Miss Behavin.
Nice.
Now you're really good at that.
Mike Johnson actually helped me. Yeah, that was his idea. I was like, I kind of like that. It's a little sassy,
little sassy.
Yeah. Pretty much like you.
Yeah. You know, I do have a sassy streak in me, not going to lie.
No, I don't see that at all.
But, yeah, first boat. A couple of my family members have cabins, so I've grown up being in the boat but never really driving the boat. I practiced a little bit with my friend, Kristen, who's also the president of our club. Luckily she was able to take me out a bunch beforehand and just get me comfortable. And actually that's what kind of gave me the push to actually go boat shopping. Cause I think you have all these ideas in your head that you can't do something until you actually do it. And you're like, wow, that wasn't as bad as I thought. Yeah. So
it is weird.
That's just a typical example of how we help each other out and encourage and push each other to reach that next goal. So proud boat owner.
All tricked out.
Yeah. It's got a couple little bells and whistles on it, but it's a pretty good starter boat, I think. 16 and a half foot single console or side console.
Yeah.
I upgraded the motor on it because I do have, you know, that little need for speed, I must say. So.
Misbehaving.
Exactly. She lives up to her name.
Yeah. Is she fast?
Yeah. She goes pretty quick. She goes about 40, 45 when she's topped out. So. This year my mission is to just get more my fellow women anglers in the boat with me. Last year was kind of my learning year. So that is one of the main reasons why I was able to integrate so well in the club, because people gave me those opportunities. So really looking forward to just giving back, and hopefully if I can just inspire one other of our members to have the courage or even just the insight as to that you can have a boat and you can do this too.
That's
what we're going for.
Super liberating. I mean, I remember there's been times I've been like super broken. I didn't have a boat and super crabby.
Yeah.
You know, and people, why don't you just fish offshore? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. But like the analogy I gave my wife was like, yep, that I would technically be fishing, but it's not the same. It would be like you're too broke to buy a book because she just likes to read. Mm. So why don't you just read over somebody's shoulder? You're still reading.
Yeah.
You're not really enjoying it.
Or read the cereal box.
Technically you're reading. I mean, why can't you just do that?
Yeah. It's good enough, right?
She goes, I get it. That makes sense. I'm like, I need to get a boat. Some big steal and rob. I don't know what I got to do. But
Patty has a pretty good boat story, too.
Well, mine is a three generation. My grandfather bought it in 1960, brand new. It's a 14 foot Crestliner. Bought it brand new in 1960. Bought the 18 horse Johnson pull start.
For like $50 the whole package, right?
No, he bought it. Well, I mean, things were
cheap back then.
Yeah, they were. And then he bought the motor 3 years later. So he had the 60, and then the motor's in 1963. And I like to give people grief. Don't you even say a word about my motor being old, because it was born the same year I was. But it's so funny because my grandfather saved everything. We had all of the brochures from when he bought it and even the letter when he got the boat. And it was like a color he wasn't expecting. And he wrote a letter to Crestliner saying, why isn't my boat blue?
Oh, wow. You must have not been able to pick your boat color back.
Apparently not.
And, well, the brochure showed blue.
Oh.
And the boat that came was red and silver, which it still is today. Yeah. And I didn't grow up fishing here in Minnesota because I'm a military brat. So when we finally moved back here in 75, within a couple of years, my grandfather was gone. So then it became my father's first boat. And he fished in it until 96 when he retired. But at that point, I couldn't get it from him. So it went to an uncle. And then finally, 8 years later, we had always told my uncle that when he was ready to sell it, he had to offer it back to the family.
Mm.
Before he sold it. So I went, I guess I'm buying a boat. So I bought the I got the boat. And then that following winter, I bought my first house. And I had a boyfriend at the time, and he always handled the boat. So I had started learning how to handle it, but then he always just took over.
Sure.
Well, then 5 or 6 years later, now I'm back to handling it myself, and I had to start all over again learning how to handle it. But I've been back in boats and trailers and that kind of stuff 7 or 8 years. And
nice.
So, you know, that's one of those things that everybody's a little scared about is back in the trailer. I think more people are afraid of that than actually handling the boat on the water.
More people.
My biggest challenge, honestly, is coming into the dock.
You're right.
Really?
I can get it in and out fine, but I don't know. I said my depth perception or something. I've had a couple dingers. Not going to lie. They should give us all, like, those pool noodles that you can put for, like, the first 2 months that
coming
you own
in
it.
Hot.
Exactly. Yep.
You're right. Once I was on the water, that was my biggest concern, was coming into the dock. It wasn't
Learning how to drive a boat, I was always surprised at how fast a boat would stop.
Mm.
Like, once you killed the motor, I'm like, I always kill it too early. I'm like, oh, man, I'm coming in so fast to kill the motor. I'm like, and the dock way over there. now I come screaming in because I got the Ranger.
Yeah, it definitely takes practice. That's one thing I learned.
Yeah, it's like anything. I mean, it just, you do it. You
know, I had a couple days where I just went and just did the basics, didn't even fish, you know, in and out.
Sure.
Dock and then circle back around. My boyfriend, do it again. So,
when you're left to your own devices and you're going fishing, what do you like to fish for?
You know, I'm a true multi-species angler. Usually, I love to fish for big panfish and then bass. I think the high caliber trophy panfish are just amazing to me.
Even in the summertime?
Yes. I fish for panfish year round, pretty much. Of course, the bigger ones are always fun, but I can sit on a pile of crappies or sunfish all day, no matter what size they are, and have fun.
Smash them, yeah.
Yeah. Bass fishing, obviously, in the summer. And I love spring and fall with topwater presentations. Those are probably my favorite. This winter, I actually got into a little bit of walleye fishing. So that was really fun. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to pick that up again next year. And then last summer, I recently got into musky fishing.
Nice.
So, yep, every year I try to take on a little bit something new, and I feel like I've kind of mastered one thing.
Yeah.
And moving on, of course, I'm always learning, but, you know, it's time to expand your horizons every once in a while. So
I pretty much stick to panfish in the winter. But
with
that said,
a lot of people
do. I always have an ultralight in my rod locker if I'm fishing for bass, and you come across, like, some spawning crappies or bluegills, or you just stumble, you know, if you're out there flipping docks or whatever and a couple giant bluegills come sprinting out, it's like, whoop, let's pick this little flu jig and flip that out there and catch that guy into the box, you know, like just while I'm fishing for bass, I'll, you know, incidentally get a meal. It's
right.
Like, perfect.
Yeah. It's best both worlds.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Do you, you trout fish at all?
I actually went trout fishing for the first time a couple years ago, open water. I don't know if you've ever been to the Brule River. Up in northern Wisconsin.
I have not. I know where it is. I have not actually fished there.
It's like pristine water trout fishing. You could sight fish trout all day long.
Don't they get pretty big browns?
They do. And I think brook trout are pretty popular. Rainbow. There's a lot of rainbow trout. I caught my first rainbow there. Pretty small, but...
Was Wisconsin Women Fish.
Yep, Wisconsin Women Fish. They're another women's fishing club in Wisconsin. Not affiliated with WAM, but similar concept. So that was one of their trips I actually went on. And then this winter, I've been trying to do this trip for 3 years, but because it's in Milwaukee, sometimes they don't get good ice every year.
Right.
It's too warm there. So the past 2 years, this trip has gotten canceled due to poor ice conditions. But this year, we finally made it work with all the cold and the snow.
Yeah, right.
And I landed a nice big brown trout, the one I've been dreaming of for this
that's
long.
That's on my bucket list.
And it was probably the most fun fish I've ever reeled in. Just because they fight so hard, and then, you know, you get them to the top and you can see them under the ice, and then whew, right back down to the bottom. We did that probably 2-3 times before I finally wore her out.
Nice.
So
how big was it?
I don't remember the exact length, but I think it was around a 10-pound fish, they said. So
nice. That's
yeah,
a big fish.
It was pretty big. Big for me. I mean, yeah. I know that Milwaukee Harbor.
Showed me the picture earlier. It's a big fish.
Yeah.
It's a big fish for anybody.
Milwaukee Harbor holds huge trout. I think they're all stocked and managed.
Once you start getting a double-digit trout, that's a big trout.
Yeah. So there's bigger out there. I think I'm going to try again next winter if the conditions pan out.
Have you dabbled in the fly fishing at all?
I did fly fish on that one trip I mentioned to the Brule River. I didn't catch anything, but man, I just give a lot of respect to fly anglers. It takes so much patience and coordination. So,
you know a good way to break in to fly fishing is for panfish, for bluegills. Those things will destroy anything that remotely looks like a bug. Actually, they'll destroy anything that fits in their mouth and a lot of stuff that won't. They'll just peck at it. But it, like, you
good
can sit
tip.
Up there on the deck of your on your boat, you know, especially if they're spawning. You get over a spawning bed.
And when they're up shallow.
You're going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
That's a good tip. I
you
never knew
do
that.
You can even do forespawning. You get there early, like a couple weeks after ice out, when the fish move really shallow, those dark northern bays are starting to warm up, and they're in there feeding on minnows or whatever. And you throw like a woolly bugger fly, which is just a...
basic.
It's really basic.
I've seen those,
you know,
I think.
Just like... It doesn't even matter what color, honestly. You cast that thing out there and you just kind of strip it back. You'll have so much fun. It's just, it's so much fun.
My trouble is the actual getting the fly to the spot you want it to go to.
Yeah, no, it takes a little bit. It takes a little bit doing. One of the biggest hurdles is like the mindset. You have to remember when you're fly fishing is you're not casting the lure, you're casting the line.
Yep.
And I think that's what people, they keep trying to force the fly out there and you're casting the line. So it's like you don't even really pay attention to what the lure's
doing.
It's more of the line and it's rhythm. If you don't have rhythm, you're going to be a shitty fly fisherman.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it.
Yep. I'm going to try my hand at it again. Maybe we should
do
something with WAM because we get a lot of women asking about fly fishing.
We have a lot of women that fly fish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you should definitely do that. It'd be a lot of fun. It's super easy to learn because you don't because you're not casting a lure, you don't even really need to tie on a lure. So you could just put, like, almost anything on the end of a line just so you can kind of see where it lands. Like, the end of the line, put, like, I don't know, get some colored, like, electrical tape or something just so you can see. Go out in the back. Somebody's got a big yard or a soccer field or whatever.
Bass.
And just and just practice out there. Nobody's going to get hooked. Nobody, you know,
exactly.
You can't. I mean, it's be once you get that down.
I think we've all practiced in our backyards with various things at some point or another.
Yeah.
And that's how I learned to cast my bait caster in the, my parents'
And see, that's what I have to do is because I've never – I'm my father's daughter. I learned how – I mean, my dad was always just fishing for walleye and crappie. That's what he eats.
Right.
He wouldn't even eat bluegills, so I didn't even learn how to eat
– Freak.
You know. Well, you understand, my dad got out of the Air Force at 42. I had to teach my 80-plus-year-old dad how to bobber fish. He didn't even know how to bobber fish. So,
oh, that's my favorite. That's
know,
my jam,
so, you know, but number one, I don't eat fish, so I don't care what I'm catching. So I am trying to learn more, and that's one of those things with this club. Last year, we did the internal fish donkey tournament. It's an app.
A virtual tournament.
Fish donkey. Okay. I've
heard of that.
And we had a bluegill contest, and so it kind of forced me to go out and try
there
to learn and focus on, you know, catching bluegills. And last year, I think we did a catfished one.
Yep, we did catfish
last year, and this year we've got a catfish one coming, catfish and carp one coming up. That's going to run 2 months with the fish donkey app. That's one thing we did this year, was we had our first virtual ice fishing tournament for the whole U.S. We had
500 people.
Over 500 women registered. It had
it
to be
crappies only.
I'm just kidding. Crappies only. And it had to be said, through Florida. The ice. Like, but I know
the whole
we
country.
Had at least.
Yeah. There's a few states that are going to, they're not going to play so hot.
But we had at least 9 or 10, women from at least 9 or 10 states participating.
Yeah.
So, you know, the club kind of, if you want to, you can, gives you opportunities to try something new and try something mm-hmm. different, whether it's events like that or the yeah. virtual Fish Donkey app or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like fun. That would be interesting. How do they go about, like, how do you register it? How do you know someone's not gaming the system?
Well, it all has to be done in real time. So, like, if I catch a crappie, I have to get out my app and take a picture of it on the ruler.
Okay.
And then you take a picture of you holding it, and you take a picture, a video of the release, because it has to be catch and release.
Oh, okay. That's
and
cool.
Because it's all done in real time, you can't upload pictures from your gallery. And then somebody actually manually goes through and verifies or, you know, makes sure that the fish is legal and meets the requirements. And, yeah, we had a ton of really good sponsors this year who donated all of the prizes for the top 25 winners.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was a really huge success, and I think we'll probably do it again next year. And our sponsors are just awesome to us, and they believe in our mission and what we're doing. And like I said, the industry is changing so much, and I think people are really catching on to this. So,
bobber fishing, huh?
Yeah, I love bobber fishing.
Gotta work on that.
It's so elementary, but it's so fun. I just feel like there's no
there's
better feeling than
though.
Watching
really
your
cool
bobber
watching
go
bobber.
Down.
There is something there really is. Cool with that. Do you want to know what else is really cool?
What?
You have to take a 30-second ounce jig, and you cast it out there, and you just like swim, hop it back, mm. and then it just disappears because a crappie comes bolting out of the cabbage and ate it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Anytime you can see what's happening to your bait and then it disappears, whether it's your bobber
super fun.
Flying under or your jig getting
thumped.
I so
rarely
thumped.
Use a bobber, like especially in the wintertime.
Yeah, I don't bobber fish in
bobber
the winter.
Have,
I'm a
like,
jigger.
But see, I do.
Except
because,
for walleyes.
I mean, I've been ice fishing sometimes. For just less than 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in my hub. I've got one hole here and one hole here. Of course, I'm the kind that I'm not necessarily going out and hole hopping, which mm-hmm. if you're doing that, you know, you are only using one hole. But I'm, you know, finding the fish, setting up the hub, and so I'll have two holes. One's got my bobber in it, and the other one I'm jigging out of.
I can't even imagine only drilling two holes.
I'm
well,
like, a
well,
hole hopper.
I'm drilling more than that, but
you know,
once I find the fish, I'm sitting there.
50 but, holes is like I'm just getting warmed up.
But I'm just
you must
getting,
have a really good auger.
I'm just getting used. You know, I'm just learning, and
yeah.
so that's
yeah,
the way
oh,
that
cool.
there
I
are some days
from
where
somebody like that.
You just want to plant down and
no.
you know just no, relax with the
no.
heater on, watch
no, not.
Watch a football no. game.
Nope.
And then there's other days where you want to stay on those fish and you got to move around. So.
I honestly, I don't know if it's just, I just
I
can't,
get it. Well, you're a guide, so it's not in your nature to do that.
Well, I can't
it's more
know.
Common
like,
with
in a,
women.
In a wheelhouse, like, it just, because I'm in a different state of mind then.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you set up a wheelhouse, it's super comfy in there, you're going to crack a beer or whatever and just going to sit there. And it's like, when you're doing that, it's like, if I catch fish, great. If not,
mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I don't think it's all that is just common with men and women. I know a lot of guys that go out and they set up their hub and they fish out of their mm-hmm. hub. And
tons of people do.
Or
yeah.
they'll flip
it's
over and they
really
go.
Really dependent
it's
on
not happening
individual.
There. Then they move on and
yeah.
punch a couple more holes. And
mm-hmm.
I talk to people on the ice all the time. And so often I'll talk to somebody who's got their holes, their flip over, their
mm-hmm.
hub, or just a bucket, and they're fishing their two holes, or maybe they're like going crazy and they got 6 to 8 holes out there. And it's the same story. Like, oh, how you know, you keeping any or catching any or whatever, and they're like, oh, you know, it's kind of slow finding some dink perch. I'm like, how long
keep
you been
moving.
Out there? And
yeah.
like, oh, you're 4 hours, just don't see
well,
me biting. I'm thinking.
Kind of wonder why, you know.
Well, I've been smashing them, so, but I haven't been sitting in one spot either.
Yeah,
so
yep.
Kind of got to go to the fish. Sometimes.
Exactly, yeah. It's kind of the key, but like I said, it's kind of different for everybody. Everybody gets what they
it
want
is, and
out
it's
of
what,
it.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it's what they want. Maybe
mm-hmm.
they don't want to, maybe they can hole hop. Maybe they don't have the physicality to hole hop, and it's like, you know.
Yep.
It was hard enough for them to drag their carcass out and drill through holes and plop down.
I get like that when it's really windy, like when the elements. But I'm like, I'd rather just be out on the ice and do anything else right now. So I'm going to bring my shack and my heater, and I'm just going to see what circles through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's better than sitting on the couch. I've never caught a fish on the couch.
Exactly.
Ever.
Well, and it kind of depends on who you learn from. The people I learned from were the kind that went out. They punch holes until they found fish, and then they set up their hub or their, you know, shack
hopper
or whatever.
Before hole hopping was cool with the hand auger way back in the day.
Oh,
my old dad, my old man would go out and we'd get on a point and we'd just start drilling holes.
Wow.
Until we found out where the fish were at. No,
that's
more
crazy.
Of a sit down and
but
fish
he
him
found
once
him.
He found him. But I would still move around.
Oh, okay.
You know, I just never was one to just sit still.
There are some days where I'm like hell bent
on
catching
me
fish.
At sometimes. You know. Which I probably should sit still when you're on like a high traffic area if it's a bottleneck, whatever, and fish are moving through.
Mm-hmm.
I could be moving too often and like I moved right before the fish came back around the hole or something. I've seen that happen to me a few times. So it's not always the best method for sure. I just don't have the patience to sit there. Oh man, back in the day before electronics, I don't even know how I did it. Without a Vexlar. I mean just
There was a couple
honestly,
days.
Don't know. I mean, I am a slave to that machine.
Yeah.
100% admit it. If I don't have it, if I forgot it,
you feel just helpless.
Either buying a new one, or I'm going home and I'm getting that one. I don't care if I'm 4 hours late to wherever I'm going. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, it's definitely a safety blanket.
Once I started learning how to ice fish, that was the first thing I bought was a Vexilar. You
not
know,
a bad purchase.
When I first went ice fishing the first time ever, I had a rod that I had
bought
it in.
You bought your Vexilar.
I had bought a. Rotted in an estate sale. And I had a couple of jigs. And that's what I went with the first time I went ice fishing. But then I eventually got my first rod. And then one of the people were inviting me to go along with them.
Sure.
And I realized the first thing I needed before I bought anything else, auger, shelter, or anything, was I needed to get a flasher. And I picked up a used one. And that's the one I've still got. And
nice.
Hopefully going to be upgrading next year. Tried this year, but.
Me too. I got my eye on that 28.
Oh, it's nice.
I know. I used it a couple times this year, and then I went back to mine. I was like, womp.
Especially when you're hole hopping because it has the auto depth function.
The
on
zoom,
it.
Yes.
Auto zoom. So
I feel like it's better for fishing in deeper water too because, like, we went to Devil's Lake this year, and my Vexlar, even on, like, the highest number setting or whatever, to. Do the depth, it was still not functioning right, but everybody that had a 28 seemed to be doing just fine. So as you expand and grow, I've noticed that I started investing in, you know, equipment that's going to help
pretty
me.
Yeah, natural transition.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you just learn more, you know, you're honing the blade.
I mean,
you're getting it down to more of a science and you're picking up on the, you know, the little details, and, you know, it makes a difference in the long run, for sure.
Yeah.
I got lucky, and I won my ion and my hob in a raft.
Very nice.
Yeah, she has a horseshoe up her, you know where.
No, that was 3 years ago, though.
But still, I feel like you're always winning stuff.
If I wouldn't have won them, I don't know that I'd have them yet.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, have my own, you know, probably gone out and bought a used auger and... And I shouldn't say this, but at my age and my height, going out and getting on a
thereof.
Big auger. I mean, for our ice tournament on Mille Lacs, we were using extensions, and those things are
above my head.
I'm, like, I'm 5'1", and I'm like, really?
Yeah, exactly.
5 foot nothing.
wait a second. Give me credit my inch and a quarter.
These short people like those quarters.
But, you know.
Every quarter counts.
Yeah.
And I'm on Team Short Girl.
And in our members-only group, I mean, women can go into the ice fishing groups, you know, the regular general ice fishing groups, and ask which is the best auger, which one's the best, you know, kind of stuff. But what might be better for a guy might not, you know, it might be better. Something
for sure.
Different might be better for a woman, you know. And it all depends on the woman, too. I personally am really incompetent when it comes to combustible engines.
Electric is like awesome.
So using a gas auger,
have you used the K drill at all?
Oh yeah,
I've used it. I have the ion. We have a lot of ladies have the K drill.
I like that plate that comes with
a lot of men with them. I mean, I think
so much lighter than like even the ion or the Strikemaster.
Oh yeah.
And when if you are a hole hopper, it's awesome. But even if you're not like. as a woman if you don't want to lug a giant thing around. The cage reel is super light.
And even the guys don't want it. They
no.
They
I
don't
want wanna, mine. I want mine. Like we.
They don't
want
to drag
around
something.
We'll
that's
pack into like these
so
like, remote lakes and stuff like. I don't want to haul around a heavy ass auger.
No.
I want light.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Light especially fast. When you're moving around.
Well, I think I saw one of the fishing groups did a poll on who's using what kind of augers, you know? Mm. An electric was right up there at the top. They didn't break it down into ion versus, you know, the Strike Master lithium or the Cadrill, but the electric is really right up there at the top. I mean, that's a Facebook group who has 70,000 members, and the majority of them were putting in there the electric.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
I love it. But, you know, we had to use... Because of an emergency, you know, run out of batteries or whatever, we had to use a power auger a couple times, and it was like, holy crap, is this thing heavy.
I know.
But
I don't know. I used a gas auger for the first time this winter, actually, and that thing just cuts like butter.
Oh,
they're so reliable. They are more maintenance, but, yeah, I thought that was the easiest. It didn't get caught up. I had to throw it in reverse. It went to the bottom super fast.
Well, the cage drill's nice.
I really liked
it. It's really good for reopening holes, too. Which is awesome, especially if you have like a nice house. Cage drill's great for that.
Great invention, right?
Yeah, super good. I think my battery's getting weaker, so we should probably wrap this up before it cuts off on us. So pimp out all your social media and how people can get a hold of you.
So our website's probably your first best bet. That's going to have everything that you need to know about membership, what we have coming up for events, different programs and stuff that we offer. You can also sign up there. Membership's $25 a year. It includes access to seasonal fishing trips, two tournaments a year, quarterly membership meetings where we have, you know, an update of what's going on, a social aspect, and then an educational piece too. We usually have a guest speaker that comes. We have awesome collection of discounts from a lot of our sponsors, a lot of other companies that support women in fishing, substantial discounts. And, yeah, just access to 700 other women that like to fish. So for $25 a year, I think you get a lot for your money. So that's our website. You can sign up there. We also have a Facebook page, a public page. You can find us under Women Anglers of Minnesota. And then if you do join, you get access to our private Facebook group where people are always kind of communicating about going fishing together or sharing best practices. Sure. So, we also recently joined Instagram.
Exciting.
Yeah, so go on Instagram.
You want to know what's super exciting about Instagram?
What?
So you post to Instagram and just click a little button on your Instagram app and it does Facebook for you.
Yeah, it shares to Facebook.
No, it actually does Twitter and Tumblr too, but I don't tweet or Tumble.
Yeah, so. We don't do that. Or Snapchat. We haven't gotten into Snapchat yet. But
Oh, you're not in Snapchat yet? I was like, I don't think
I'm
following you on Snapchat.
We've thought about it for kind of trying to reach some of our younger members.
For sure.
Yeah.
Fire it up.
Come on, social media queen. Get on it.
Queen.
No, our members, members the only group, whether it's, you know, trying to figure out what size, you know, how do muck boots, you know, fit for sizing, you know? I need to get, I mean, whether it's that or what rods or what reels or, I mean, going in there and ask a lot of different questions. And with our discounts and everything else, you make up that $25 really, really fast. Well, it pays for itself.
Not, yeah. That's, especially you're getting those
pretty
discounts.
Pretty fast.
Exactly. You get a lot for your money. But, yeah, that's where to find us. And our contact information is on the website, too, if anybody has any questions or wants to know more before they join. A lot of people kind of hang out on the outskirts and just watch what we're doing for a little bit before they end up joining. So we totally get that, but we welcome everybody.
Don't be afraid. Jump in.
Exactly.
Well, and I always recommend when people join the Facebook group, I always recommend, you know, create a post introducing yourself, where you live, what you like to fish for. And, I mean, most of those posts end up with 20 or 30 different
comments and
about where I live or I live in your area.
Yeah,
and
they're on the fence. You shouldn't be on the fence.
Just
do it. There's nobody.
You really have nothing
to
lose. You have so much more you could possibly gain. And
it's not. You have.
Yeah. This club has given me so much. Even as a board member, it's given me more than what I've put in. So
I have Facebook friends that I met through the other fishing groups, a couple of the ladies. They were my Facebook friends for 2 years before they actually took the leap and joined WAM. I kept trying to push them into it, and I kept sharing all of the stuff that we were doing and the events we were doing. And
every time you say it, I get songs stuck in my head.
You're making up a little jingle
for us. They finally They finally joined, and they don't regret it for a minute. And
no, they're like the best thing
they've
ever done.
Head first into it, you know. Yeah. Not everybody has to do that, but a couple of those friends dove in head first, and they've gotten involved. And
this club is really what you don't look make back. Of it. You know, you can participate in as little as you want or as much as you want. So there's something really for everybody. And yeah, if you're a woman out there who loves to fish, at least check us out, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, see what we're about.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Hey,
this
was
really fun
on.
To
this is great.
Hear and about your outdoor excursions and your chickens. And
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. Teach you how to find some mushrooms.
You're just a jack of all trades.
Do a wham mushroom hunt session. Or something.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Foraging.
But anytime you guys have stuff coming up in the future, just reach out.
For sure.
Get you on. Just another outlet for you guys to get the word out.
Well, thank you
everybody,
for that.
Anybody,
thank you for reaching out to us.
The more and more people that get involved in the outdoors, whatever it is,
the better. We're out.
The
we're
better
all
because
off.
Our voices are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The cities are getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to scream louder.
Like you said, we're all in it together.
Yep,
you know?
Absolutely.
Common bond.
100%. All right, ladies, I really appreciate it. And I'll try to send as many people I can your way.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Huge thanks to everybody who has taken the time to download and subscribe to the Full Scale Outdoors podcast, to rate us, to review us. You're doing great things, and we are growing every day, and I really appreciate it. Another way we're growing is we have joined the Waypoint Outdoor Collective. So what that means is people can now find us and listen to us on the Waypoint app, on your Apple TV, on Roku, Amazon Fire Stick, smart TVs, hell, even gaming systems. So if you haven't downloaded the Waypoint app, do it now. You're going to thank me. It has over 2,500 of the best hunting and fishing shows and short films out there. This is one of the best apps you're going to find. So I just would like to say thank you again for those that have already subscribed. Let's share it. Let's keep this thing going. And I am proud to say that the Full Scale Outdoors podcast is now part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective. So thank you very much.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Spend your Saturdays with life on the water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow. Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.